Now our Bible study today takes us into the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 25. I want to read to you the first 13 verses of this chapter. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now this chapter, Matthew 25, is a continuation of the truth set forth in the previous chapter and should be studied as such, because the Lord is still answering the multiple question that was asked by the disciples when they said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the consummation of the age?" We have been studying chapter 24, and we have found some of the answers that he gave, very important answers regarding the condition of things that shall prevail in the end time, especially those years between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord with his saints to set up his kingdom. Now when you come into chapter 25, and we read this particular parable occupying the first 12 verses, with its application of truth in verse 13, where he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I remind you of one or two things regarding this parable. First of all, if you take it out of its context and try to work in every detail and try to make this parable refer to the church, you will find yourself in difficulties. For example, number one, in verse 13 it says, "Ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." I remind you again of this very important fact, that nowhere in the church epistles do you find this title, the Son of Man, used as referring to the Lord in his relationship to the church. The title, the Son of Man, is a title that relates him to earth, and in a particular way. It appears to have to do with the setting up of his kingdom and his power. Then there's something else you must note in this parable. There's no mention made whatsoever of the bride. It's true that there is the bridegroom, and it's just as equally true that there are the 10 bridesmaids. but no mention is made of the bride. Of course, if we have some kind of understanding of the Eastern marriage or the Eastern wedding, then you can understand there would be a bride somewhere, but she is not in the parable. She is not in the procession. The bride doesn't go in the procession. The bride is already in-house, waiting for the bridegroom to come in. And it's the duty of these bridesmaids to escort him into the house. So there's no mention made whatsoever here of the bride. So please do not read the church into this parable. However, there is one mighty truth that is applicable to every one of us that would read this, and it seems to be that the great truth being put before us in this parable is the truth of being prepared, being ready for a great coming event. Now, as you read the parable then of the 10 virgins, I ask you to take note of 4 things. Number 1, there was the profession they all made. Number 2, the expectation they all shared. Number 3, the omission of the foolish 5. Number 4, their exclusion from the festivities. That makes it very solemn, very searching, and therefore we ought to pay attention to what the Lord was saying to the people of that day, for surely it has a message for each of us today. Remember, it starts off by saying, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now, we have already emphasized in previous studies that when it says the kingdom of heaven, that is not referring to the church, because the expression the kingdom of heaven is found in places long before the church ever came into existence. However, we have sought to prove that the expression the kingdom of heaven refers to a sphere of profession, and in that sphere of profession there is an acknowledgement of God. It is the sphere in which God is acknowledged as being the ruler. But there's a lot of people, perhaps, who are in the sphere of profession who do not have the possession of eternal life. In plain words, it marks the distinction between simply being a professor and being a possessor. Now then, he says, "Shall the kingdom of heven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom?" Here then is the profession they all made. They were carrying their lamps and going forth to meet the bridegroom. If you and I had been there on an occasion when we saw a group of ladies carrying their lamps, they would all be dressed in a particular way, we would immediately arrive at the conclusion that they were the bridesmaids and they were going to attend a wedding. Their duty would be to go out and meet the bridegroom and escort him into the wedding chamber. Now, we don't do those things in our land here, I know. We have our own customs, we have our own culture, and on the wedding day here, that is the day when the bride is given all the prominence. But remember, I have mentioned already in prior studies that when a king made a wedding supper, it was in honor of his son. It was the bridegroom's father who usually honored his son on the wedding day. Our culture has changed all that. In our culture, it is the bride who is honored on the wedding day. But now here, then, the bridesmaids had a different function altogether in weddings in the East, different from what we do here in our land. In our land here, you can see the bridesmaids usually dressed in the same color. They look alike in many respects. They do the same things. They walk up the aisle and they take their stand in a particular place. They are the bridesmaids. They are honoring the bride. But here, it was the same thing. If you saw them, you would conclude right away that they had an honored position. They weren't carrying flowers, they all carried their lamps. This was a necessary thing. For a young woman to be a bridesmaid and going forth to meet the bridegroom to escort him in, it was essential for her to have her flaming torch, called here a lamp. The lamp would be held aloft, and she would also have a vessel with oil by which she would keep feeding the lamp. As she poured the oil into the lamp, it would keep the wicks burning. So she would have her flaming torch, and she would carry her torch as she escorted the bridegroom. So therefore, we see 10 young women. They're all carrying their lamps, and so therefore we conclude that they all have the same profession, and they all share the same expectation. They expected to be with the bridegroom at the celebrations. But now, something strange happened here, and it was simply this. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now that perhaps was an unusual thing for them to do. You would have thought that they would have been all excited, and so excited that they would never have thought of going to sleep. But it seems that they were overcome with weariness, and they went to sleep, until suddenly, at midnight, a cry is made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Now then, it was at this time that the great difference was noted between 5 of these young ladies and the other 5. There's a great division here. Now remember, they all made the same profession. They all carried lamps. The people who watched them would conclude that they were all going out to meet the bridegroom. Unfortunately, they all slumbered and slept, the wise as well as the foolish. In plain words, they became, as it were, insensible to the great event that was about to take place, the event in which they expected to share. Now, might I say this, that after what we've read in chapter 24, I believe we can all put ourselves in somewhere with those who make the profession. I suppose if we were to question men and women today as to what they expect when this life is finished, most people, if they're intelligent at all, would expect to arrive in God's heaven. They would expect to be in the glory. That would be their expectation. In fact, it may even be their profession. But question a little further and ask them on what grounds they expect to be in God's heaven. And that raises another situation altogether. Some people are wise and they make preparation for it. Others are foolish and certain things are neglected. Now, it was when the cry was made at midnight, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." You see, the Pharisees of that day were people who were looking forward to the day when they would sit down and eat bread in the kingdom of God. Oh, they expected to have the chief seats. they expected to be honored. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew perfectly well that these men were hypocrites and had not prepared themselves for God's presence whatsoever. Here again he proves it, and he uses the illustration of 10 young women. Now remember, they were all virgins. That is, they all seemed to have the badge of purity. They all had good intentions. In fact, you could say something else. They were all guilty of the fact that they fell asleep. It seems to me that at the present time there's a lot of people who have fallen asleep spiritually. They're not aware of the fact that the day is fast approaching when the trumpet shall sound and the Lord Jesus shall call his waiting people home. Then this old world shall enter into that awful time of judgment that we read of in chapter 24. But now at the end of that tribulation, he's coming back again as the Son of Man. Now here are those who are expecting to go in with the bridegroom. Notice now the omission of the foolish five. It distinctly says, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And then when you come down to verse 8, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You see, they sought to light the lamps, but the wick wouldn't keep burning. There was no oil. What's the good of a wick in a lamp if there's no oil? It's the oil that keeps it burning. It's the oil that is the life of the lamp. Here they had lamps, but the vital thing was missing. They had no oil. Oh, the omission of the foolish five. They took no oil. Now, if the oil is the life of the lamp, their oil was missing. Their vessels were empty. In plain words, they had here an empty profession without any reality. May I suggest that no matter when it is, whether it was in the Old Testament dispensation, whether it was in the Jewish economy, or whether it is at the present time in the age of God's grace, when he is calling out his church, men and women from amongst Jews and Gentiles and welding them together into one, or when it will be in the end time after the church has been removed, no matter in what age a man or a woman may live, there is one thing that should mark us all, and that is, we ought to possess the genuine article. God expects reality. Away back in the days before the flood, there was reality, and there was unreality. In the days of Moses, there were those that were real, and those that were unreal. There were a mixed multitude. In the days when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, there were those that were real and those that were hypocritical. At the present time, there are those that have the reality and there are those who haven't. No matter then at what time in God's economy a man or a woman may live, it pays to have the real thing. Here were five young women. Oh, they had their vessels all right. They looked the same as the others until the crisis came. It was the crisis that proved who was real and who was false. You see, at midnight the cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That was the crisis. That was the vital thing. Go ye out to meet him. And the virgins all arose and trimmed their lamps. But then the foolish discovered wherein their foolishness lay. Lamps, but no oil in their vessel. You know, it's no use a man having a Cadillac lying at his door if he hasn't got any gasoline in it. The man next door may only have a little Pinto, but if the Pinto has gasoline in it, it'll get going and it'll take him places. It's not the size of the car. It's not the make of the car that counts when it's time to go. It is it ready to go? Has it got the spirit in it that will give it the life and make it move? In like manner, when it comes to spiritual things, my friend, it's not the show that we put on. It's not the profession we make that counts. But it's this: do we have the real thing? Can we stand up to the acid test of the Word of God? Oh, those five foolish young women, remember, many things could be said to their credit. They were virgins, all right. They lived a life of moral purity. And their profession was all right. They had attended to the lamp. And they were going out to meet the bridegroom. Their expectation was all right. But oh, the omission, the mistake that they made. No oil in the vessel. If you were to take time to study through the Holy Scriptures, I think you would come to this conclusion that the oil in the Word of God is indicative of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Word of God says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. The Lord said to Nicodemus, a great Pharisee, on one occasion, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see how necessary it is for one to be possessed with the Holy Spirit, for one to be born of the Spirit, for one to possess eternal life. And if we don't have eternal life, we'll never occupy a square inch in God's heaven. Here were five foolish young women who looked forward with great expectation to be in at the celebration, but they failed to make the proper preparation. They had their oil missing. They had their vessel. They had their lamps, but no oil. So therefore, when it came time to trim the lamps, they may trim them, but they wouldn't burn. And without the burning lamp, they couldn't go in. Now they got quite excited, and they're turning to others and they're saying, oh, give us of your oil, give us what you've got, for our lamps are going out. The other said, we can't do that. My friend, this is something that cannot be passed on from one to another. If I could save men and women, I would spend all my time running around saving them. It's not the preacher's prerogative. The preacher is only a signpost pointing men and women to Christ. There's no preacher, there's no man alive on the earth today who could save a soul. My friend, listen. Jesus Christ and Christ alone has the power to save. He alone can give that life. Will you try the life that Christ can give? Notice then their exclusion from the festivities. They came and the door was shut. And when that door was shut, there were some on the inside and some on the outside. A neglected opportunity resulted in sad disappointment. May I remind you again, the lesson to be learned from this parable is simply this: be prepared. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, I want to tell you this, that out of this passage here, this is the main lesson. No matter in what dispensation a man or a woman may live, we must be prepared. We've got to be prepared to meet our God. We've got to be prepared for what lies before us. Oh, my friend, remember, there were five that were wise and they went in with the bridegroom. There were five that were foolish and they were shut out. And listen to what he said. When they came, the door was shut. And they're saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And the Lord said, I know you not. They were not his. For the Lord knoweth them that are his. Where do you stand, my friend? Are you ready for the great coming event?